Thank you, Sam. It is such a privilege to be asked to come and to be here at Southwest. I've been very impressed with the work of the school as well as the church here over the last several years. And since Rick Brumback came here, I've have been able to get more information about what's going on and keep up a little better since moving away from Texas. I don't get to keep up with things as I used to. It's kind of a different world up in Oklahoma. And I did tell them when I moved up there, I said, I just want to make the same request that Joseph made. Be sure and take my bones back across the river and bury me in Texas if you would. I don't know if they'll do that or not. I've been up there so long now. It is amazing when you peruse the Bible carefully to realize that there is not a single subject that God does not answer in some way or another. Many times these are handled by principles that we discover in the Bible. Sometimes they're very directly dealt with. But concerning unemployment struggles, we would obviously understand that this would fall into the category of principles. We're going to need to see what the principles are of what God can do for us when we fall into the problem of unemployment. For many, many years, I have conducted numerous funerals. In fact, I lived in a particular little place in Texas one time where every congregation, denominational church in town was split and fighting. The church was not. And as a result of that, I was called on to do almost all the funerals in town because families couldn't make a decision who to ask to come do a funeral because they were all feuding and fighting. I did literally in the 2 years that I lived there, I did somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 funerals. A passage that became very important to me is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And here the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." That tells us, and we can have confidence in this text, that whatever our struggles are, God's going to be there. He's going to help us. He's going to help us deal with those things. And it seems like there are certain struggles in which people blame God more than any other. If they have a marriage problem, they tend to blame God. Why did God give me this person that I'm having trouble with? If they're having problems with their children, especially older children, they tend to blame God. Why did God give me this child? Not blaming ourselves at all that we possibly could have messed up somewhere. And when it comes to the loss of a job, we also quite often turn against God and begin to say, why did you cause me to lose my job? I need that job. I've got to support my family. I'm trying to do what's right here, and yet I've lost my job. And we tend to want to blame God. But the Bible very clearly here is telling us God's the one that's going to be there to help and help you pick up the pieces. He's not the one that caused the problem, and he never has been. There's not a single sin on this earth that God caused. There's not a single problem on this earth that God caused, except for the problem that he caused Satan by the sending of his son, letting him die on the cross to defeat Satan and to defeat death, the last enemy, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so when we lose our jobs, instead of blaming God, that's exactly where we need to turn. We need to turn to God. We need to ask him for the help that we need to be able to deal with the problem of perhaps losing a job. The day and time in which people kept a single job all of their lives is just about gone. In fact, in a survey that was done fairly recently, it said that baby boomers, and these would be people now that would be in their 40s, born after 1979, will have an average of 11 jobs. Well, if you're going to have an average of 11 jobs, unless everything works out precisely, there are going to be times of unemployment. And it may be that part of the reason that baby boomers have 11 jobs is because they are very dissatisfied. If that shows through in their work, they're going to get fired from time to time. They're going to get laid off from time to time. They're going to be the first one on the blacklist if the boss needs to make some cutbacks. And so unemployment becomes very real. If you live in Oklahoma, unemployment becomes very real. And not because we're the poorest state in the union, though we are among some of the poorest states in the union, but because we have so many natural disasters. My city has now, I used to say we've been hit by 5 major storms, tornadic storms, in the 28 years that I've been there. Now it's 6. But these last ones were kind of small. Somebody called and they said, oh, we're going to send a big team down. And I said, why? We've got maybe 40 houses that are in trouble. And to us, that's nothing. To other cities, that would be a big deal. But to us, that's nothing because we lost 4,000 homes just 2 years ago. And so you have to just kind of put things into perspective. But when those natural disasters come, people lose jobs. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on. Also, if you're dependent on a particular industry. Texas has been very diversified now for many decades, but it used to be very much an oil state. Oklahoma is still, unfortunately, very much an oil state. And when gasoline goes down almost below $2 a gallon, and it has actually been below $2 a gallon in Oklahoma City, people begin to lose their jobs because, you see, that level of money is not going to support all of the people that work in that industry. And so they're beginning to lose their jobs again, and people are beginning to get laid off. And so we see these problems with employment. Work is a very important thing to God. God wants us to be hardworking people. Solomon writes in Proverbs 22:29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." And that term mean means obscure. It means you become more important because you keep a job. And that is a very important thing. You know, if you listen to young ladies talking, and it may not be as true now as it was in my day and time growing up, they normally judge the men they're dating and plan to marry by whether or not he has a job and a good job and is going to keep me taken care of. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the responsibility of the man of the house and part of what we really ought to do. In Proverbs 6, we find that Solomon says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." A sluggard is a lazy man. And then begins to talk about the industry of the ant and how that the ant takes care of things so wonderfully well and takes care of their family so wonderfully well. This points to our need to turn to God in times when those jobs come to an end, hopefully through no fault of our own. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. Peter says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." So again, we can turn to the Word of God and everything we need is here. And so we have what we need to deal with the problem of unemployment when it comes our way. So in this lesson this afternoon, we're first of all going to examine the effect of unemployment, the effect that it has on the individual. Secondly, look at some of the reasons why unemployment comes our way. And then finally, look at what the Bible has to say about it to see what God has to say about dealing with the struggle in unemployment. It is really hoped in this lesson, by this study, to lead us to a place of serenity where life seems to turn on us and learn to lean on God and learn to lean on His people as we should. What happens when we become unemployed? I want to mention some perhaps unusual characters in the Bible that you wouldn't normally think of with regard to unemployment. And the first one is David. Have you ever thought about David being unemployed? Here's David. He's been a shepherd in Bethlehem all of his life. Here comes Samuel, looks over all of his brothers, and God says, "Don't like any of those." And then here comes this little redheaded, I think that's the way ruddy ought to be translated, redheaded boy, beautiful, beautiful boy, well-formed, and he says, "That's the one." He's anointed. Now, Saul has not yet been dethroned, though Samuel has told him, "The kingdom's going to be taken away from you," and that's a sure thing when a prophet of God tells you that. And so David is going to dethrone Saul, but not really through his own work. But Saul then is fighting against the Philistines, and they're not getting anywhere. In fact, they're cowering on a hilltop. And here comes David doing what his daddy had told him to do. He's working for his dad. He's a shepherd. He's good at it. He's killed bears and lions to protect the sheep. He's good at what he does. And God has apparently given him some very special powers. And he comes down to see what's going on. And about that time, here comes Goliath. And Goliath challenges the children of Israel. And David's just incensed. Why isn't anybody standing up to this guy? Why isn't anybody saying anything? This tells you the difference in mindset between David and everybody else. And his brother even gets mad at him. Oh, you're just a little boy coming down here to spy out what's going on. His dad sent him. He was doing the job that he was supposed to do. David proves himself in that situation to be a great soldier as well. He's been anointed king. He's been a shepherd. He's been anointed king. He's proven himself as a soldier. You would think that this would be one of the most valuable people you could possibly have around you. Yet Saul decided to fire him by means of trying to kill him with a spear. And David has to flee. And then he even tries to kill Jonathan because Jonathan's his friend. Jonathan's the son of Saul. And he tries to kill him, also tries to skewer him with a spear. And yet Jonathan stayed faithful as a friend to David throughout their lives. But David has to flee. And David has to depend on others. He even goes to Ahimelech, who is the priest, and has to ask for bread. And he has to get the show bread. It was the leftover show bread to give to David so that he could have something to eat. Because David had no way to take care of himself. He goes to old Nabal. Nabal did not help him. Wasn't going to help him. Was a mean character. And God will later on kill Nabal. And David ends up married to his wife, Abigail. But David is unemployed. And there are lots of side effects that begin to affect David. David is somewhat afraid. Now here's this brave young man, but he's fleeing. He's fleeing for his life because he knows Saul has the ability and the power and the influence to get him killed. And so David, even on one occasion, flees to Philistia to hide out. This is a terrible situation. David is unemployed. We might think also of the paralytic that Jesus heals in Matthew 10, or Matthew 9 rather, that this man cannot work. And he has to have his friends bring him, and they can't even get into the house where Jesus is, so they have to go up on the roof and break up the roof to let him down. But this man cannot work. He's a paralytic. What about the lame man in the temple that Peter and John run across? How did he make his living? He made his living by begging. The same was true of Lazarus, and I'm not sure if that's a parable or not. There's a man named, so it may be a very real event of Lazarus and the rich man. But the only way he could try to get by was to have somebody lay him at the gate of the rich man every day to see if he could just get a few crumbs from his table. These people are unemployed, and these people are in desperate shape as a result of what has happened to them. Well, according to the American Psychological Association, unemployed workers are twice as likely as their employed counterparts to experience psychological problems such as depression, anxiety, psychosomatic illness, low subjective well-being, and poor self-esteem. As preachers, we have all experienced this in counseling with members that have come in and they've lost their job. And they begin to blame themselves and they just feel terrible. And perhaps digging into that, they didn't lose the job for anything that they had done. There's lots of men right now in Oklahoma losing their job because the oil industry just can't afford them anymore. And so fellows that were making, you know, $25, $30 an hour suddenly are making nothing. They've been laid off. And through no fault of their own, other than the fact they've tied themselves to an industry that's kind of prone to that from time to time. But they begin to blame themselves and think, well, if only I'd gone back to school and trained myself to do this or that or the other. You know, when you get a good job, you just go to work. And you kind of put your nose to the grindstone and you don't look up. You just do the job. And then if the job runs out, you're kind of lost. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. So there are psychological problems. The second problem, and this is a very obvious one, this is sort of like, okay, Captain Obvious, the income stops. You know, that usually happens when you're unemployed. Nobody's going to send you a check. Maybe the government will send you a little bit of unemployment for a while, but they only do that for a little while. Basically, as far as an income that you could support your family on, the income stops. For many years, finances were considered to be the leading cause of divorce in the United States. And if a man did not keep a job, they were much more likely to be divorced than a man who kept a job. But if a man loses his job through no fault of his own, he should not be blamed. But again, they begin to blame themselves, and sometimes their family does. There's also the problem when you're unemployed of having to search for a job, having to begin to go out and look for jobs. And if you've taken a little menial job in the meantime, well, you're trying to ask off from a menial job that you have. Well, typically they'll just let you go because anybody else can do that job as well. And so it's sort of the catch-22. I'm trying to get a job, but I'm trying to keep a job while I'm trying to get a job. And it's almost impossible to do that. In extreme cases, there are some extreme things that can happen when somebody is unemployed. Some people turn to drug abuse. Now just think of how that compounds the issue, because drugs cost money. And so here's a person spending money they don't have on something they shouldn't have in the first place. Many turn to alcohol. Some turn to sex as a result of that. And so there are all kinds of things that begin to domino when somebody is unemployed. Cain compounded his disappointment of God by going out and killing his brother. And yet God had warned him in Genesis 4:7, if thou doest well, in other words, if you do what I've asked you to do, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He was supposed to defeat Satan and defeat sin, and God gave him warning, but he still allowed his anger at his own disappointing of God to cause him to go out and to kill his brother. These are some of the side effects. These are some of the effects that unemployment can have on those who are unemployed. Many have spiritual problems that begin to rise whenever they are unemployed. Again, blaming God, blaming the church if the church does not react quickly. I really appreciated the lesson that we had about mental problems and the fact that many times in the church, people don't want to come forward and say, oh, by the way, I'm bipolar. And they don't. People rarely come forward and say, by the way, I'm unemployed and I'm having struggles as a result of that. Usually they're ashamed because they've lost their job and they don't want to mention it to anybody. The church needs to always have its feelers out. We need to be paying close attention. And if we find out a brother or sister have lost their job, we need to be right there on that doorstep taking care of that family and helping them find another job. We have a guy that we're in a Bible study with right now, and he is a hardworking guy, but he's one of these that just has to float from job to job because nobody's hired him in the particular profession that he does and all. It just so happens one of our elders works in that industry and could use a permanent employee in that regard, and he just so happens to also be the one studying with this fella. And so he's getting him a full-time, steady job that this man has never had, and they have a child at home that has problems. And so this is going to be very helpful to that family. Well, the church can respond and the church can do wonderful things, but that's for our last point this afternoon. What are some of the reasons for unemployment? There are really many common causes of unemployment. In today's very competitive market, one of the main reasons is business failure. There are a lot of businesses that just go out. We have a preacher's breakfast in Oklahoma City, and I've been the organizer of that for now almost 3 decades. And we have shown up at 4 different restaurants, and they were closed. After we had been there with them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we finally got with one that hadn't closed, and we've been with them now for about 15 years. But you just show up. Well, the restaurant business is like that. It's a hard business. If you're not in the perfect location, if you don't have something people want, they close up. And all of your employees all of a sudden lose their jobs. Another common cause is the failure of the employee to perform. Now, that's when it's a little harder. And if somebody comes in and says, I lost my job because they said I'm just not competent, I just can't do the job and all, you have to deal with that and start talking to that person about, well, then what are your talents? Because it may be that you went in for a job that you're not qualified for. That happens. Employers make mistakes, and they hire people that can't do the job. Sonic Corporation, which is a huge corporation in Oklahoma City, Sonic Restaurant, very fine, very well-run business. But they hired a person in a particular department as the head of that department that had no clue what she was doing in that department. And the man who should have been appointed, who was a member of the church, and I knew him very well, just had to kind of bite the bullet and let her fail. Because he said, I couldn't help her. I couldn't teach her how to do the job that she did not know how to do. And she should have never been appointed. She got fired as a result of that. Sometimes it's the failure of the employee to perform. And then there are natural disasters. And you may be thinking, well, why would a tornado or an earthquake or a flood coming through a town cause a lot of unemployment? Well, just stop and think. It's just common sense. Because many businesses are destroyed overnight. Just around the corner from my house, we've been missed now by two tornadoes. One was an F5, the other was an F2, by one block, okay? I saw the last one, the one 2 years ago. It was coming right at our church building, and I was there with one of our deacons, and we gathered the people out of the parking lot who pulled off of I-35 because they were scared to death, and we told them, guys, you're going to die in your cars. And so you've got to get in this building. We took them to the safest place in our building, but we didn't have a safe room. And I watched our 7-Eleven on the corner go up, and I just knew, boy, this thing's going to hit us directly. I don't know what's going to happen. It just so happens that it turned almost immediately, went just a block south, and stayed below the 4th Street Bridge and more and missed our building. I heard it a little bit, and by the way, crushed several of those cars with debris that those people would have been sitting in had we not taken them out. But as soon as we came out and we saw our biggest business district, which is right on I-35, was virtually gone overnight. Our hospital, our post office. Have you ever had a destroyed post office in your town? I'm going to tell you right now. It's about 5 days before you get any mail at all. And fortunately, most people who bill you will give you a little extra time when that happens. But your post office, we lost one of our title companies. We lost two banks. I just can't even name all the businesses just right there and one of my favorite restaurants. And it took them 2 years to rebuild. They just now got open that particular business. Well, what happened with all those employees? They had to either just ride it out or go find something else to do during that time. Now, the federal government employees at the post office had a place to go naturally. They would just take them to other post offices because they were going to have to deliver our mail some way or another. But everybody else lost their jobs when that took place. The same thing happens with a major flood when businesses cannot function. Then those employees lose their jobs just overnight because there's nothing that can be done. There's no more income coming into those business. Unemployment can also come as a result of loss of businesses, and we've really talked about that. But something you're more familiar with is the fertilizer plant in West Texas. This is just north of where I was born and raised, and when that exploded. Not only did that major business, and it was the largest business in West, but not only did they lose that major business, they lost one of their schools, and they lost numerous houses right there, and a couple of other businesses that bordered that area. And so they lost those businesses, again, just overnight as a result of that. And then there's also the problem of disability. And I know when I was growing up, I don't know about Don or Sam, but we had some good men at Brown Trail that before we graduated sat us down and said, okay, boys, here's some things that you need. You need good health insurance because you got to take care of your health. You need to have good life insurance. You've got to take care of your family in case you die suddenly. And you need disability insurance because you've got to cover yourself beyond what Social Security can possibly do for you if you become disabled. You've got to be able to take care of your family. But if you become disabled on a regular job, and most people don't have any disability insurance on a regular job and don't take it out on themselves, then you're just up the creek without a paddle. You do not have that kind of support. Now, you may get a little bit of government disability, but folks, that's a drop in the bucket when you've lost a full income during that period of time. And many people do become disabled, like the lame man, like the lepers, who no longer were even allowed in town. They had to live out in the pit of refuse. That's where they normally were sequestered to. And if they even came into town, they had to cover their mouths and cry out unclean to make sure everybody walked on the other side of the street from them. These people could not keep a job, and they just had to live off the garbage of the city because of their disability. Now, we realize what a heinous crime that was to never take care of these people at all, but they did not have any methodology of doing that in that day and time. So we see some of the reasons for disability, or not disability, but for unemployment. But what do the scriptures say that can help us at a time like this? As we started out in 2 Corinthians 1, we need to first of all turn to God. We need to understand God is there to help. God is there to care for us and to give us strength at time of need. So far as being employed, the scriptures are very quite clear as to what we are to do. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." God wants you to know, if you have the capability of working, you need to work. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not the most important thing in your life, and we need to understand that. A lot of people get so caught up in their careers, it just consumes their life. And it's just a job, and we need to understand that. And even if you're highly trained and you've done a lot of really good things in that regard, it's still just a job, and we need to put it in its right place. But God expects you to have and to keep a job. Laziness and being determined to rely on someone else to support you are against biblical teaching. And again, Solomon said in Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant." And we look at the industrious little ant and the wonderful work that the ant does, and we recognize this is the kind of life that I need to lead. However, we know that many of our brethren and friends become unemployed through no fault of their own. What can we do for them? First of all, teach them to trust in the Lord and to pray fervently and to not give up on that. You know, so many people, they'll pray a little half-hearted prayer, and then when it doesn't come true the next day, they're just, "Well, God didn't answer my prayer." Paul prayed three times concerning whatever disease it was he had, probably an eye disease. And after those three times, he decided that God was just telling him, "You need to just live with it." And he did, and he was happy with that. We need to pray fervently, and many times we are not. We are told in Psalm 46:1-3, Hebrews 4:15-16, and Psalm 107, these particular things. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. In the Hebrew passage, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Actually, I mix those two between Psalms and Hebrews. And then in Psalm 107, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a day for a dwelling place. We need to be a people who trust in God. Secondly, try to stay strong for your family if you are the leader of the family and you've become unemployed. And there are a lot of preachers here today, and preachers, we often suffer from unemployment. I've never experienced that, and I'm so thankful to God that I have not. But I've had great friends who became unemployed through no fault of their own. One time we were leaving for the Fried Hardeman lectures, and we were picking up a very dear friend of mine, a very well-known preacher. If I said his name, you would know him. Very well-known preacher. And I could tell when he was getting his stuff into the van that, boy, he was down. I didn't know what was going on. And I was driving the van. He sat in the seat next to me, and he turned around and said, "Boys, I've got an announcement to make. I got fired yesterday." On a Saturday, he was in his office getting his bulletin ready to be gone to the Fried Hardeman lectures and all. And an elder walks in and tells him that we've heard some things that we don't like, and you're fired. Guess what he found out later? That elder was the only one who fired him. The other elders didn't even know, but they backed the guy up. And so this preacher ended up getting fired because one elder didn't like him. Well, we know how tenuous our jobs are to some degree. As far as that being at your employ, it can happen quickly. And therefore, preachers have to be ready to have the right attitude if these things happen. And if it does, Instead of going home and just pouring it all out to your family and kind of crushing them, we have to be strong for our families when that happens. And we have to live by the old adage, this too shall pass, because it will. It's not permanent. It will go away eventually. Thirdly, recognize that we can grow through struggle. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Romans 5, 3 through 5. It takes pressure to make a diamond out of coal. And God can turn us into a diamond if we'll allow him to do his work on us. Let patience have her perfect work, James 1 teaches us. And we need to let God have his perfect work in us. Sometimes those problems make us better and make us more sensitive to others who have some of the same problems. Fourthly, as a church family, we must keep an eye out for those who are hurting. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12 and verse 15. And brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verses 1 through 3. While we normally think of these passages with regard to brethren, we should also look out for the people in our community and be supportive of them, because you're going to find out when you're kind to people, They're gonna want to show up, and they're gonna want to study, and they're gonna want to know why you're that way. During the tornadoes just a couple of weeks ago, and fortunately we didn't lose a lot of businesses during this particular set of tornadoes. It really just wasn't one. It was about three or four little ones. But during that tornado, it just so happened to have happened on a Wednesday night. And the people in our area had heard that it was going to hit Moore High School. Well, guess where our brand new church building is? Right across from Moore High School. And so the people in that community got scared. I don't know why you would come to a large building with a large roof, because that's one of the most dangerous things you can do. But I guess they felt safe being in a place where people come to worship God. And hundreds of people came in. I was in a gospel meeting. I was not there. I didn't get to enjoy that. But we had several members and some of our elders gather those people together, and they started praying fervently. And when it looked like the storm was going to pass and that the danger was over, they had a brief devotional, and then they dismissed those people and let them go home. We had probably three or four families back the next Sunday, and they said, you know what, a church that would take us in like that and comfort us and help us, we want to be a part of this. Folks, when we look out for the needs of others, we're going to find, because that's what God has always done, that we're being more like God, and people will become impressed with that. As with all situations for the Christian, God can make all things work together for good to those who love him. Romans 8 and verse 28. When we watch out for each other and our neighbors, we are acting like the Good Samaritan of which Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 36. Or we're acting like Barnabas, who sold his land and laid the money at the apostles' feet, Acts 4, verses 36 and verse 37. We will be the kind of neighbor that we ought to be, and we'll pull others out of the maelstrom of employment struggles that they may have in their life. When a person loses a job, they sometimes lose a part of their identity, because too many people identify themselves with their job. We need to help them refocus on Christ and make sure that it is with him that they identify themselves from now on. May we always be there to help in time of need. I bless you.